The Great Dead Body Teachers by Jackie Dent is one of the most unusual books I've read recently. It is, in part, a family story and, in part, a revelatory history of anatomy. No big deal. Jackie Dent is an Australian journalist and producer who just had to write The Great Dead Body Teachers, an adventure into the world of anatomy and dissection. And I'm glad she did. G'day, Jackie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm super, thank you. Tell us about your grandparents, Ruby and Julian, their role in this.
So, yeah, my grandparents sort of lived pretty, you know, ordinary lives in Brisbane. And my Ruby was a school teacher, and my grandfather, Julie, that was his name actually, which mm-hmm. is quite, it was, he was always quite proud of the fact that he had an unusual name, Julie. He had sort of various odd jobs and worked in the public service. So they were sort of, as you'd say, probably ordinary Australians. So my grandmother died in 1969, and she donated her body to the University of Queensland. And then my grandfather died in 1981, and he also donated his body to the university. So it's always been kind of this thing in the family, but not really a big deal. And then I had this sort of Christmas drink a few years ago, and my life kind of changed.
What happened?
So we were having, Mum and Dad and I were having a drink with their next-door neighbours. And the daughter was saying that, oh, you know, Jackie, you're a journalist. You might be interested. I've got this new job. I'm working at a surgical facility. And at this facility, you know, people do dissection, but they're not, they don't dissect full bodies. They just do body parts. And the body parts are flown in from America. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And so Mum and I walked home, and I was like, Mum, that's kind of weird. Are people not donating their bodies anymore? You know, like I feel like Australia is a very giving society. We support the RSPCA. We support ANZAC. You know, we're a giving culture. And so I suddenly thought, oh, my gosh, what's happened to whole body donation? So it sent me on this wild, wild trip, really, of trying to find out what happened, you know, why weren't people donating, which it turns out people are donating. But also it sort of got me thinking, well, what actually happened to my grandparents all those years ago, like in 1969, 1981, like what actually happened back then? So I went on this odyssey of tracking down older surgeons and doctors, technicians, all sorts of people who may have been in the room when my grandparents were there.
Fascinating.
And I know. So initially I thought it was just going to be about dissection, right? Just, you know, which, and I'm quite squeamish. So, you know, I found this book quite intense to write at times. Like I can barely watch Operation Ouch on ABC TV. But what, you know, and it just opened up this whole world of like embalming fluid and then, you know, museum collections and also just the extraordinary rich history of anatomy, which is really the basis of medical science. And I think it's something that a lot of us should know a lot more about, actually.
I agree. I was thinking I'm a registered organ donor, but I've never thought about donating my whole body to science. How would I do it?
Well, these days, what you do is you fill out paperwork with your university. So Australia has what's considered sort of gold standard donation. So anyone who donates their whole body to a university has to fill out paperwork and register at a university. But unfortunately, in other parts of the world, they use unclaimed bodies. So people who haven't consented to it, which I think is sort of unfortunate. And, you know, internationally, anatomical societies and itemists are really trying to push for to make sure that everyone actually signs the paperwork. So that's what you would do. You would fill out the paperwork in Perth.
The notion of a body used in medicine for teaching is something we don't often think about unless we're watching a hospital drama on TV. But the complexities of how that body got there and who it belongs to is fascinating. Where did you first go to find out more?
Well, I think the thing that really kind of, I guess because I don't have a science background, and so the thing that really struck me was that when I first started researching this, I couldn't find any stories about how the anatomists felt about, you know, what they did as a job. But then I also couldn't find any stories about people who had donated their bodies, or, I mean, I guess they can't because they died, but I just couldn't find the emotional element. And I suppose as a non-scientist, I was just interested in the stories of all these people that were in the dissecting room. And I found, like, this extraordinary history of body donors. So people throughout, you know, body donation has really only sort of picked up in the West probably since the 50s and 60s. So my grandmother was definitely like an early donor. So I feel that it's they're quite unusual characters, body donors in themselves. So I, track down old newspaper articles. So for example, up until the 1930s and 40s, if someone donated their bodies to science, their whole body, there was an article in the paper about them.
Right.
So they were very unusual characters because I guess back then in Australia we had a much more, people were more religious. Mm-hmm. They had concerns about what would happen in the dissecting room. They had concerns about what would happen to, would the person get a proper burial? So I sort of, went down that rabbit hole of researching early body donors, but then also from there I kind of fell into the massive, extraordinary history of anatomy. And from there, all the beautiful anatomical art. Up until, you've got Leonardo da Vinci, but you've got a very famous anatomist called Andreas Vesalius, who put out a book in 1543, who kind of changed the history of medicine. And so his drawings are just, the illustrations and the art that is associated with old anatomy is something that I also kind of really got into. So in the book, I profile contemporary anatomical artists.
When we think about bodies, unless it's like on a TV show where it's a dead body and it's a character known or unknown, do we assume that it's a white male body?
Well, this is a very interesting thing that's happening now in the world of anatomy, is that they're kind of sort of decolonizing in a sense. So the thing that I found so fascinating is that in a lot of the textbooks, the bodies are sort of, the drawings tend to be of a white man, and the organs often tend to be male organs. So if you've got a kidney or admittedly there's a lot of so much human variation. I mean, generally our organs are sort of pretty similar, but between you and I, if you cut us open, we are kind of a little bit different on the inside. So there's a big push within the anatomy world to change the language, to change the imagery that's used, so you've got a bit more diversity in terms of the way it's discussed and depicted.
We have such changing relationships with language and death and bodies, and it's all covered in The Great Dead Body Teachers. Jackie, you've done a great job. I have a lot of questions. We're going to ask a couple more that I can't pass up on. I've read about the Scully effect before, but Scully was a character in The X-Files and that finished a long time ago. Is the nerdy tech wizard goth analyst that we see on TV a reason why the forensics field is skewed female?
Well, yeah, this is something that I found very interesting, is that I visited a research facility in Sydney twice, where they study, people donate their bodies to this facility and they use it for sort of police research and odour research, like the bodies are decomposing. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I found really interesting is that everyone that worked there were women. Like the majority of the women that I were out there were women into these white overalls and suits and doing this sort of quite intense forensics work. And I asked them about that, like, why is it all women? And one of the younger students there did talk about Scully and Patricia Cornwell, how there was that period, like probably 10, 15, 20 years ago, where there were these sort of women crime fighters using science. It definitely apparently has had an impact on the profession. They say that the popular culture has meant that there's a lot of women in forensics.
I have to ask you about the dissection influences. What are they?
Well, this is the thing, is that because it's not possible really to go into a dissecting room. It's sort of a very closed off space. And so I was trying to get a sense of dissection, and I sort of all of a sudden stumbled across this whole genre of dissection that you can watch on YouTube. And, it's all very scientific. It's sort of, very straightforward. There's all different genres of it, like different characters, and they're from all over the world. There's Austrians, there's Indians. So I think if you're a medical student or a physiotherapist wanting to look, so they would, you just watch these videos. But there's a couple of them that they've got like quite a large following. There's these two guys, Jonathan Benyon and Justin Cottle from the Institute of Human Anatomy in Utah. And they've got a huge following on Instagram, and their videos are quite confronting, but very kind of sensitively done. But I don't think, in Australia you would be able to, in terms of the legislation and the protections around donors, you wouldn't really be allowed to make those kind of films, these YouTube. Although I know that there are some anatomists that are quite keen to sort of get anatomy out there, because the thing is, I know it seems really yucky, but when you start to watch it, at first I felt very sick because I'm squeamish, but at first the body's actually really kind of quite fascinating. We are this a palace, really. Like, there's so much inside us that I had no idea about. So when I have an ailment now, I will Google, you know, if I've got a sore tummy or a sore arm, I'll actually Google anatomy of my arm just to give me a better sense of what's actually going on inside.
How liberating. Such empowering knowledge to have.
Yeah, well, I think the thing too, though, we worry about our bodies so much, don't we? Like, you know, you look at all...
Because we don't know enough.
No, but yeah, I mean, there was a period, you know, probably 150 years ago where anatomy was much more in the public imagination. And these days you've got Gunther von Hagen's The Body Worlds person. I don't know if he's been to Perth. I've actually never seen one of his shows, but they're the ones where you have plastinated figures. And so these exhibitions are very popular, and I do think people have an interest in what their bodies look like in this context. I know it seems macabre and, you know, ghoulish or something, but I would just argue that, well, this is death and these are our bodies and this is what we look like, and it's very educational.
And there was a time where public viewing was the thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the olden days, you know, if someone died at home, we would take care of it, you know. We'd probably get the carpenter down the road to bang a coffin together, but we would, you know, the person would be in state and at home, and we would, you know, take care of it all. So there is, I think that there is a lot of fear around death these days, because we're not as connected to it like we once were. Most people die in hospitals, you know, we don't have to worry about burying them. You know, we pay a funeral director to do it. So I think that's why, you know, elements of this book are probably quite confronting for people, and it was confronting for me, but I feel like this is the backstage of medicine. This is what's happening. Doctors are, and all sorts of people doing medical science degrees, they are studying bodies so that they can treat us down the track.
It's a fascinating book. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes, and thanks for having me on.